Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. We were supposed to have guest Carl Bland on tonight, but unfortunately he's had some technical issues with his call-in on Skype. Therefore, we're going to kind of run with the show a little bit and talk about the past couple of shows, some updates on a couple of very semi-famous people that have been building that we've talked to in the past and their television shows that are coming out. And we're also going to cover some of the more interesting topics that have came up in the paranormal within the past couple of weeks. Excuse me, I have a bit of a cough today, so if I cough on you, I certainly apologize. So let's just get the ball rolling a little bit. Paranormal news. Paranormal Journey with Gavin Kelly and Paula Purcell that we talked about several weeks ago now, actually about 3 or 4 weeks ago, will be coming out October 31st on Amazon. Make sure that you actually keep your news set. Those of you that have Amazon accounts, you can start searching them in early November to late October so that you can get prepped and have them set on your list so that way you can watch them. I encourage you to do that. Gavin, Kelly, and Paula will also be doing a podcast that they're putting together. Make sure that you keep an eye on that podcast and join him on Facebook to ask any questions necessary and support him in his paranormal journeys along with Joe Vitale, which is his technical person. In additional news, Peter Sacco has recently finished out his current season of his new show. Peter Sacco can be found on Facebook as well as on YouTube if you search him. He has an amazing haunted story that has some incredible guests on it this season. He's worked out his 7th episode that he's just aired, and he's working on the 8th, 9th, and 10th currently. In other news throughout the paranormal, there's been kind of a rush lately in questions about religion, Christianity, as well as science and how these things mix together. So we're going to discuss that a little bit in detail tonight. We're going to get into some personal visions on theology that I have been discussing over Facebook on several groups, and we're going to kind of run with that a little bit. Other local paranormal news. Barry Strom, one of my early guests that will be posted on Paranormal Truth and Reality, is working on a new book called The Words of God, where he is actually speaking through his spirit board and several other things with people that are telling him some of history in the past and the links within the Bible. Might be an interesting book to look at. You may want to visit him of Words of God then and now and kind of get a feel for that. If you're religious or non-religious, it's a very interesting site to talk about. RTP Real Time Paranormal will be putting on videos for Spirit Realm and several other people that I intend to get back on the show here in a little while. Spirit Realm UK is actually working on live presentations as they go to their investigations and ghost tours. Rob Price and several other people are actually working very, very hard on that in their site, so make sure that you take a really good look at that. In more advanced news, there's going to be several new paranormal shows about to come onto the circuit in 2018. AMC is actually going to be venturing into their very first ghost show. Now, I'm not going to release the name of this, but keep an eye out for the advertisement in early 2018 to mid-2018 for the show, as it's going to cover several very interesting topics from multiple different investigators in a reality point of view. In addition, we're actually going to be looking at several new shows coming on Discovery Channel, if everything works out right, and a few known paranormal movies from some very likely sources that you've actually seen on Facebook and over the internet that's going to tickle your fancy a little bit. So make sure that you keep an eye out for all of that information. It's very, very important because some of those up-and-comers that you have seen on Facebook for 10, 15, and longer years are actually going to be producing movies. That's right. Believe it or not, there are a few people out there that are actually working with movies and producers. Excuse me. In lighter news, there's a paranormal conference that's going on in Pennsylvania in a UFO area. I apologize. I had the name because I was going to go this weekend, but I had a few issues with a couple of cars and we had to get those taken care of. Make sure if you're in the area of Pennsylvania to look it up. It's in a very famous UFO area, and there's going to be a unique speaker that's on WCJV, as well as on several other radio stations, Colin. Colin has been a friend of mine for quite a while on Facebook. You can look him up on WCJV every single week, so make sure you take a look at him. And by all means, if you're in Pennsylvania, stop in, because he's a wonderful kid. Very, very intelligent. He's got a heck of a career ahead of him. Can't talk about him even higher. In addition to that, excuse me, I hate this cough here. I'm coughing left and right on you. In addition to that, Comic-Con just got released. Yes, I'm going to talk a little bit about Comic-Con today. Comic-Con just got released in San Diego. Some news has come out, some very unique sources through Comic-Con. If you pay attention really closely, not only are you going to see some unique programming that revolves around ghosts, but there's going to be several comments from famous people throughout many, many television shows that are going to start talking about their personal experiences throughout the San Diego week, which is just about to finish. So keep an eye out there a little bit. I'm a Comic-Con fan, guys. I go to the Comic-Con Columbus. You can join me every single year. I'll be up there with a table this year in Ohio. Feel free to stop in. Read my book, by all means, that I have printed, but it's a limited print, so we'll have some of those there. You can have one for free. I hand them out instead of charging for them. Very interesting stuff. And keep an eye on the paranormal, because there's always one or two of us out there within the Comic-Con field. So that's a beautiful thing. Let's get into the nitty-gritty. The nitty-gritty basically of what we're looking at here right now is relatively simple. Can the paranormal and science work together? I got this question asked earlier when I put it on my Facebook page. For those of you that follow me on Facebook, you can always find me. I don't accept very many friends, so make sure that if you do send a friend's profile out there, you're going to have your picture and a little bit about you. If you have no picture and you don't tell me a little bit about yourself, then odds are you're not going to be on my friend. But everything is public, so you can read it. You can comment on it. I don't have a problem with any of that. The question came up with faith and science throughout the paranormal. So here's the deal. I speak of this very fluently, but I don't speak of my individual faith. Can there be faith throughout the paranormal? And does it walk hand in hand when you're investigating ghosts? The answer is yes, it can. excuse me. I got a bit of a cough here. The answer is yes, it can go hand in hand. It looks like I've got a messenger up if you guys hear a ding from time to time, because that way you can interact. You can interact with me on Real Time Paranormal through Facebook Messenger. There is an interactive Paranormal Truth and Reality website with a new messenger that's came out. We're testing that this week. We will have it available next week so that you can talk via messenger. We do have a call-in line. I'll make sure that we get that by next week and mention it. Hopefully, Donald, if you're paying attention to me here, just type that in so I can repeat the call-in line so that people can always call in during guests and throughout the show. But anyway, back on to the subject. Excuse me. My cough is just terrible today, guys. Got a bit of a cold or something going on here. So I apologize if I cough on you. Anyway, religion. Religion is a hairy subject people don't like to talk about in the paranormal. Everybody has a religious view. Good, evil, God, devil, positive, negative, witchcraft this, witchcraft that. Yes, no, Satan, demonology, blah, 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 blah. Here's the deal, and we're going to get into some of that today. And feel free to call in if you have opinions. More than welcome to do that. I'll give you the call-in number here in a little while. Relatively speaking, everybody can have their own individual faith within the paranormal. And more likely, most people will have their opinions and their faith within that paranormal field. What do I mean by faith? Some people assume faith is related to Christianity. In some cases, it is. But faith is what you believe in. It goes beyond Christianity. We all have beliefs. You just don't go randomly out into the world and kill somebody most of the time. Why? We have rules. We have faith in those rules. Everybody believes in their own individual system on the way they walk life, how they treat their family, how they treat their friends, and they have faith they're doing the right thing. Everyone carries faith within the paranormal. You can feel free to call my number if you want to discuss this in more detail as we go. Toll-free number here and call-in is 1-888-429-5471 in USA and Canada, 323-744-4841 is my direct line. Make sure that you call in if you have any questions or if you simply want to plug into the show with a personal opinion. I'd very, very likely love that. It looks like I have a messenger question here. Can faith be religion-oriented when you're dealing with the paranormal? The answer to that, Bill, is yes, faith can be religion-oriented. It depends on your faith. Here's the deal. I have a faith of my own. When I go into a home, when I follow into a team, and I'm not on a team myself, by the way, I observe teams. I learn from them, and I listen to them. This is why I can educate you in the field of the paranormal. I also stand behind college professors and ask them questions, quantum physicists and ask them questions, psychologists and ask them questions, and normal people and ask them questions so that I can develop those theories and teach you here online on the website, and you can have a portal for more information to develop theories on your own. When you're going into a paranormal world, here's one fact. Whether it be your mind, whether it be something else, whatever the situation, somewhere along the line, when you play with fire, it's going to burn you. The best way to fight fire is water. The best way to fight the paranormal is in your faith and belief. Now, some people believe in Christianity, and that's great. Some people believe in other things, and that's great. Whatever your belief, when you walk in this world, you have to carry that belief with the faith that you're going to succeed at it, just like life. When you go out and get a job, do you go out and get the job going, I'm going to fail at this in 3 or 4 weeks? No, you have the faith you're going to succeed. That's why you got the job, to pay the bills, to work every day, to run and go. The same applies to the paranormal. Can faith in God be supported into the paranormal? The answer again is yes. Faith in God and faith in the devil is just like faith in good and evil. Faith in God and faith in the devil is just like faith in positive and negative. Faith in God and faith in the devil is just like trying to find truth from lies. They all apply the same way, people. You can argue about it all you want. You can complain about it all you want. You can debate about it all you want. And it's not going to make a difference. The fact of the matter is, you still have to have faith to walk in that door. You still have to have a belief to walk in that door. And when you're fighting things that you can't comprehend, you still have to have the belief that you're going to win with the faith that something's beside you. What you call that, hey, that's your choice. Now let's get into science a little bit as we're going into the first bit of the show. Excuse me. We're going to run into the term science. I hear over and over and over again, the paranormal is a pseudoscience. I hear over and over and over again, the paranormal and science cannot work. Now again, this is not a gripe session. This is a truth matter. Whether you like it or not, whether you comprehend it or not, whether you understand it or not, the science and the paranormal walk hand in hand. How do you think science got answers? Somewhere along the line, it was considered impossible. Somewhere along the line, it was considered improbable. Somewhere along the line, it was considered nonsense. Ask yourself what many people consider the paranormal, the supernatural. That which you can't comprehend. Now, how did it become science? Well, first off, somebody had to come up with the theory and get laughed at. True fact, if you think the Wright brothers, when they created flight, didn't get laughed at and told it wasn't going to happen, you're wrong. If you think, when we first started to talk about space travel, when we didn't create something at all to go up there, people weren't laughed at. You're wrong. Let's take a look at television. I'm going to do a preference here from the geek point of view. When Star Trek was created, it lasted exactly 3 years. Do you know why? The answer to that was people laughed at it. It was before its time. Men walking around with small devices in their hand and talking miles and miles away to somebody you couldn't see. That's not possible. Traveling to space and being able to breathe in a spaceship with a space station? Come on, we could barely get there right now. Now I want you to think about that a little bit. Laser scopes and laser surgery. Being able to take readers over top of the body. All of these things were a concept out of a man that wrote something. Now they've been brought into practical theory. And some of them are still being looked at because somebody wrote a story and got laughed at and ran off the air in 3 years. The atom bomb wouldn't have been created. Not that that's a good thing. If we wouldn't have made a mistake while looking at something else. Truth of the matter, by the way, if you actually look at the government records and the history of how we created and tested the atom bomb, it was deemed impossible and almost given up on until one scientist made a mistake, and guess what? Kaboom! No joke. Absolutely no joke. The whole project was going to be scrapped. And one man came up with the answer overnight, making something explode. So science does work with the paranormal, because what is the paranormal? Well, let's define that. I know I've defined this before, but I'm going to do it again. The paranormal is anything that stands outside of the scope of natural science determination today. That means everything that has a question that we run into is paranormal. Not kidding you. That's the definition. We've changed it around. We've manipulated it because people wanted to argue about that. But if you look at the common core of the definition, that's what you're looking at. Now, geology has fell into the paranormal multiple times. When we discovered radio transmissions, guess what? We fell into the paranormal. We had no idea and still have no idea how most of those are there. We utilize them. We answered how they work. We answered what we can do with them. I'm talking to you today because we know this. But we still have no idea where it came from. When we created electricity, we found out we could design that current. We found out we could manipulate that current. We found out we could use that current. But did we actually find out where that current is created? Let's look at the human body. We have only mapped or scoped roughly about, according to some people, 30%, but only know roughly about 5% or less of how the brain operates. We can define the different areas of the brain. We've given them definitions on the brain. We know that the brain fires energy. We know the brain has receptors. We know the brain stores memories, stores reactions, comprehends things, and operates. But do we really know why? The answer is no. Guess what? The brain is paranormal. Everybody wants to concentrate on that word ghost, that word God, that word soul, that word spirit. Well, they fall into the paranormal, but they're not the paranormal itself. Let's look at meteorology as one other example. Storm anomalies, lightning balls, all of these things fall within the term paranormal. Did you know, though we know how a tornado starts and how a tornado ends, we still can't predict the path or why sometimes that path changes? Did you know that storm chasers often talk about the fact that tornadoes have a mind of their own, even though they don't? These are all questions we have no answer to. And believe it or not, everyone, these are all paranormal. I'm getting a lot of reactions on the messenger, if you can hear that in the background there. Some people are agreeing, some people are asking a few more questions, so let's just jump right into a couple of those questions. One of these people says, and this is from Daniel says, So you're saying that since the paranormal is questioning everything, that if I question something in life, then I'm questioning something, and that is the term paranormal. No, actually, I'm not saying that. Comprehending life is an impersonal journey with each person. It's not paranormal. Paranormal are those super extensive things that we can't yet explain. Let's use quantum physics as an example. I spoke to a quantum physics professor that I'm going to try to get on air. Now, he's not very well known, but he's developing a theory that's very, very interesting. People speak a lot about past lives. We discussed this a little bit on RTP earlier, Real-Time Paranormal. It's a Facebook group. Feel free to join if everybody's listening. I will be more than glad to accept you and get into some pretty extensive discussions. Quantum physics is based on many, many different levels. But let's take some of the basic levels today and discuss them a little bit. Theoretically speaking, in quantum physics, much like a neutron or an atom, when you split it, we found out that you can take a portion of this neutron and move it clear across the world, and another neutron and keep it clear over here. If you move one up, the other one moves up. You move one down, the other one moves down. You move it left, the other one moves left. You move it right, the other one moves right. Therefore, both are connected, even when you separate them. Quantum physics states that there is a possibility that many different dimensions are separated beyond the concepts of basic science. Now they use quantum mathematics to simulate this and determine that it is feasible and plausible. In science, everything has to break down to being feasibly plausible within the mathematics in order to say this is an acceptable theory, just so that everybody knows. Now, when you're looking at quantum theory and you're looking at the separate dimensions, there's also things called quantum fluctuation. Quantum fluctuation is when these little areas get thinner or overlap on each other. This causes certain particular things to be possible. The paranormal adapted this about 5 years ago. Okay, if we have a quantum fluctuation where the supposed dimensions get a little bit thinner in areas and things can possibly travel through, or we can see things from other particular situations, could that be what we're perceiving as a ghost or residual activity? The answer becomes likely yes, it could be. Not a yes or a no, but yes, it could be. Now, when we're dealing with the past, the present, and the future, one of the theories within quantum physics is that all of these things remain separated yet travel together. I know that's a little hard to comprehend to the average person, but just think of it this way. Time is separated because we define it as such. But what if everything flows in one way, just on different lines or different levels at the exact same time? These could be separate dimensions. If so, and you have a quantum hiccup, as my scientist is discussing it, and he'll break this down when we discuss it here in the next 2 or 3 weeks, providing his schedule allows it. I think it's going to be a very interesting thing for you guys to listen to. That fluctuation could cause many, many things, including past life regression, meaning that you're actually hearing or seeing what happened in another life for a brief period in time. Now, whether I believe that or not, who knows? But it is a very interesting concept. The point being, every single one of you I have seen over and over and over again over Facebook, on radio, on television, and so forth, argue the fact that science and the paranormal do not go hand in hand. Okay, I'm going to call you out on this. Make me the bad guy. Bull crap! Anything with a question falls into the paranormal as long as it's extra extraordinary. As another example, wormholes weren't plausibly possible. They got laughed out in the early days. We got told they didn't exist. Then Einstein opened the book again and said, well, it could be possible. So everybody started looking at it. Reality is now we've actually proven they're out there. We've even taken some pictures of them. Do we know the exact science of how a wormhole operates? Well, no, because we haven't traveled to one yet. But we know they're there. Once upon a time, that fell into the paranormal. Let's venture into aliens, UFOs, and otherwise. We've had some pretty in-depth discussions on Facebook and throughout several actual conversations, and I'm going to get into some other news flashes before the end of this, but let's just talk a little bit about this, about UFO theory. Now, there are two concepts I'm going to discuss with this. Since earlier we talked about science and religion and how it fell into the paranormal with faith, and we talked about science, let's just dig our hands into a few concepts that have been a big thing over Facebook and actually over several news flashes within the past couple of days. Some of this, some of you are going to laugh at. Some of this, some of you may get angry with me on. Some of this, you're going to realize my concept and you're going to go, hey, that's just Chris. And I'm okay with all of those. Again, please feel free to message me, Facebook me, and talk on the messenger here as we go. Stage one. Many people say that God and aliens coexist and could be the same thing. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but here's the fact of the matter. I don't even know how to express that. Now, again, I have my own faith that I don't bring into the paranormal. If anybody ever asks me, I share that very openly, but otherwise I don't discuss it much. Could God be an alien? Well, if you look at some of the news out there and some of the stuff people have put together, it makes sense. In my opinion, the answer is no. But when you start reading early text, a lot of times you go, hey, well, he did come down. There is a ball of light. The angels do explain certain things. So you could put two and two together and say, theoretically, that's possible. Your own faith will determine whether you believe that or not. I can't tell you yes or no. I can tell you from personal opinion and observation that whichever side you tread on, whether you believe that God is God, whether you believe that it's just good and evil, whether you believe that man creates good and evil, whether you believe that UFOs are out there or not, it's very, very naive of anybody to believe that we are the only thing in such a vast thing called space. That there's absolutely no life or intelligence outside of the human race. Fact of the matter is, people, there is. 5 years ago, we found life on Mars. We found water on Mars. Now, what do I mean by life? Bacterial evidence was tested from a probe proving that something did live on Mars. We tested moon rocks and found biological evidence that the moon sustained some form of life once upon a time. Now ask yourself these questions tonight. If we found that, and we proved it, and we did, isn't it logical that in the vastness of space, in the billions of galaxies, in the quadril millions and zillions and trillions, and I say quadro, that's not even a word, but hey, it's funny, right? Are out there. Isn't it logical that we have some other form of intelligent life? The answer is yes. Now, is it logical that that life is coming to us, visiting us, and flying up above us in the skies over and over again going, neener, 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 neener? The answer is no. It's not plausible. Am I saying we haven't been visited by alien life? Well, just like driving a car, you can crash, right? So, it could be plausible that something traveling through our galaxy got curious, yes. It could be plausible that something traveling through our galaxy in the billions of years that this planet has been here could have crashed, yes. It is very plausible. Is it plausible it's happening today? Yeah, it's very plausible it's happening today. It's just not the way most people want to think it's going on. Just like you or I, we don't go flying around if we're more intelligent than something and just stick our tongue out and go, hey, look at me, you can't do anything. That just wouldn't make sense. It's just not logical. But that's not saying that they haven't been here. I'm going to address something that I've done a lot of looking and research in because a lot of people have been talking about it due to some tapes that were released several years ago from somebody that did not reveal his name and did not reveal the person he was speaking to, but says that we have an alien race of lizard men. For some reason, people out there continuously post how major famous people, including Justin Bieber, as well as Princess Diana, that is dead, God rest her soul, and several other famous people in the media today, including presidents, vice presidents, and so forth across the countries, are lizard men in disguise. Here's the reality, guys. Let's think about this. Let's put some real thought into it. It doesn't make sense. I know it's a great theory, makes excellent science fiction, but if you ever followed any of the theories, as example, the audio recording, and I won't release the name because it really wouldn't matter. The guy gives you a pseudonym anyway when he releases this stuff, and it became a big uproar throughout the paranormal community and theoretical discussions. When he starts this conversation, he talks to a young lady, lizard woman, who says that they can use mind control to mimic the face in order for us to believe they are real. Well, isn't that very convenient? In addition, she talks about how we were not the first human race, we were not the first alien race, so to speak, or rather they weren't, but there were several alien races that carried on a very big war for multiple years. One of those races were lizard people like herself. Apparently, they abandoned the Earth after genetically creating human beings to be their slaves in realization that they weren't going to win the war, and one took over and left it alone, leaving them, who she claims was the original indigenous race of the planet Earth, to thrive on the Earth and live with human beings for many, many years, which is why you see the occasional hieroglyph of a lizard man and a human walking together. She continues to explain that as humans grew, we became intelligent, we decided that we were the superior race, and they fled to the underground, creating vast cities with warm industries, including areas under New York City, Las Vegas, Great Britain and London, the Antarctic, and several other areas. Now, this gets a lot more in-depth and a lot more far-fetched, and some of it makes a great science fiction story, but the reality of the situation is the more you start to listen to this, the more it becomes fiction itself. If you're such an intelligent race, and she quite easily explains that they're not peaceful throughout this if you listen. Some are scientists, they love to study, the rest of them are very aggressive, just like lizards. They love to bathe in the sun, so they use sun lamps underground. And so forth. Now, I'm not kidding you, by the way, when I'm saying all of this. Some of you are out there are going to be laughing about it. Some of you out there are just going to be going, wow, that's interesting. Some of you are going to go, that's just one big story. I'm not kidding you. This whole story is laid out like this. It's almost as ridiculous as listening to Scientology's basis. if you think about this, and they're the superior race, and they're stronger, and they're faster, and they're harder to kill, just like a lizard. Why are you hiding underground? We as humans are very fragile. We're easy to break. We're easier to kill. So something just doesn't mesh with that story. I know there's a vast following of people out there that love to talk about the lizard people and the fact that they exist and they're hiding amongst the community, but reality is, guys, they are not. It's great science fiction, but that's about it. So, Let's go into other stories, and a couple of these stories are going to be plausible and feasible. A few of them are going to be great discussions for further shows that we're going to be bringing guests on. In the meantime, excuse me, if you're here in the local area, just wanted to mention, stop by the Morro County Marengo Flea Market every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Great bunch of people. I have a couple of stands up there myself. I hate to punt this, but I just wanted to let you know that it is available. Fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. There's a candy store called Andy's Candies inside, as well as some antiques and a lot of very creative things from the local community. And of course, I love to support the community here in Morro County and Marengo, Ohio. So all people listening in the Ohio area and the Marengo, Ohio area, Marengo Flea Market is available every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They open up at 10 a.m. They run until 6 p.m. So make sure you stop by and support your local community. All right, jumping into other things. I want to talk a little bit about something that I know is going to come up as we start reaching the end of summer and we start hitting those haunted areas, which, by the way, I've got some news on here shortly. excuse me. Like I said, I apologize about the cough here. Black-eyed children. There was a paper that was released in Great Britain that will be out here in the United States here in a little while. It's called The Truth of the Black-Eyed Story. I want everybody to actually look into this a little bit. Black-eyed children actually started roughly about 11 years ago through a story that was very well known on Creepypasta and several other areas by an author that actually had his own radio show, and he was a writer at the time, that stated that somebody came to him and he had an experience on his own. He later came out and admitted that black-eyed children, for the most part, was a story on his behalf, but did come from an unidentified source that left him some information that he could not confirm, but had an experience that he swore was similar to exactly what the guy stated, so he decided to create a whole story based off of that situation. Basically, the theory of a black-eyed child is children come to your door, they knock on it, and they try to lead you astray. They ask to come in, and for some reason you get those feelings that they're just not right. Most of the time these children haven't harmed anybody, but do they really exist? If you look at the history of black-eyed children, you'll find out that not only can the original story not go past the guy that wrote it, but you can't confirm any sightings of the original situations at all. However, the urban myth built on creepypasta and throughout this gentleman's book to the point to where people started to believe it. If you start to in-depthly look at the history, and this is going to be broken down into the paper, by the way, that's going to be released, the gentleman's name is Ernest L. Raving, I do believe. You may be able to search him now. He's written a wonderful paper. I just got a chance to pre-read it. When he publishes it, he's going to be putting it on a website called The Truth About Black-Eyed Children, along with a book. I do encourage you to actually read that. Ernest is going to be on my show here in about 4 months once his book comes out. But let's go back to a little bit about this discussion. If you look at the history of black-eyed children, you will find absolutely not one single thread of truth. You won't find any real connection. You won't find any junction to proper history. You won't find any type of theoretical note that even links back to proof of any kind. Now, I know what some of you are going to say, right? Just like us, well, sometimes you don't have to have the proof, but it's still there. Well, sometimes when you're talking about the paranormal experiences, yes. However, if you look at the paranormal side of things, I want you to do your math. This year and next year, Paranormal Research Ohio, for those of you that are listening, is going to be starting a database of what they call true identification factors. I want everybody that has a ghost story to actually submit this. By the way, we will pay you for it. I'm not going to give you a lot of money, but everybody that submits a story will receive a little something for submitting that story as long as it's deemed truthful and confirmed. The reason for this is those stories interlink in very specific ways. Ways that are not identified within the real paranormal world. Things that are not regularly shared. Things that can collect data going, there's something here. This is more than just a coincidence. Black-eyed children are just stories. There's nothing to verify it. All you have is a story. if you can verify enough collectible data along top of audio data, along top of digital data, along top of historical data that should not be there, plain and simple, you have an anomaly. So, do we have that with black-eyed children? No, we don't. The anomaly started from the stories that happened 5, 6, and 8 years after the original story. They haven't been going on throughout history. They haven't had the same cycles. They haven't had the same sequences. They were created, much like Hat Man, much like Shadow Man, much like Tall Man and Thin Man. They're all derivatives of the same story. They started at a certain point after the story was created on Creepypasta. These things don't exist, guys. But there are some things that do exist. PK activity and poltergeist activity is one example. Poltergeist activity does exist. In fact, there are several theories that are out there that we're going to be discussing in the next 2 or 3 weeks on PK activity, from actual psychokinesis being projected from individuals that have other things, to a theory that I personally am working with a doctor at OSU on PK activity, just as a theoretical base. I'll give you a little bit of a hint on that theoretical base before the paper is written in the middle of next year, just so that you know. We believe that poltergeist activity as one possibility, not all of the possibilities, just as one possibility in theory, could be innate ability based off of the brain. Since we've only mapped a very small portion of the brain, and by the way, one of the people that's working on this is a neurologist that teaches at OSU, and we have a psychologist that's going to be a part of this paper, as well as somebody that's a theologist in history that deals with the paranormal. And you've got myself. I don't have a doctorate in anything, but I've dealt with the paranormal for a long time, so I'm just kind of jumping straight in with them, because this way you have the human view as well, just so everybody knows. No doctorate. I'm not a doctor in anything. I don't have a college education in psychology. But anyway, back to the basis. If you can take a person's brain and realize that that brain is only mapped a very small specific of, and there is possibility of other things, and we know, as example, that emotion spreads to other people. Energy is a very strong thing. If one person is angry in the room, it's likely to spread to another one like a disease, and another one like a disease, and another one like a disease, and another one like a disease. We all know this. Love, happiness, anger, and everything else, then regressed emotion could very well be projected the same way. Now, whether it actually physically moves something or whether we think it moves something depends a little bit on each situation. But if that particular person has lived a very regressed life or a very upset life, had a very terrible bunch of things happen to him, and then tried to move on from that, is it possible that that regression of all of that can show outward? And is it possible that if ghosts are real and other things are real, that they can be attracted to that, which is why you have certain people with the ability of saying they're a medium where other people aren't? These are the things we're going to be looking at in this study and very in a lot of detail through the next year, actually, including testing a few people and putting some unique situations in play to see if it's plausible. And then we're going to put it into a study. It's a very interesting thing to discuss. Let's jump back into events. Events throughout this year and next year, there's going to be a paranormal event convention in Columbus, Ohio. It's due for November, if everything works out right, of this year. The paranormal convention will consist of several well-known people if everything works out right, so keep an eye on your postings, because we are looking for some ex-ghost hunters as well as a possible guest adventure from several other people, including haunted collectors. We are also going to have a lot of local people as the invitations go out, so keep an eye out on that. Ohio Reformatory, during Halloween of this year, will be having their Ohio Reformatory special. As usual, generally that starts right in the October area, the week before or the week after Halloween. This year so far, who has not confirmed but been invited, you're looking at Grant Wilson, Jason Hawes. You're looking at Destination America, as well as, yes, several people from Haunted Collectors, and several other guest stars from some fairly famous areas. I myself will actually be there. I will have a booth, and I will be meeting with a lot of the people. Now, I'm not a famous person, so I don't expect everybody to be walking up and asking me for autographs, but I would appreciate it if you stopped by the booth and said hi while I'm getting to know everybody else since it's locally here. On the slight minor announcements, we do have some updates from several other people that are coming into play, so I want you to keep an eye out on local radio and television. There is a possibility of a HBO limited special coming on soon from several associates that have been working in Facebook. I will not release their names, that revolved around a exorcism and several other exorcisms across the United States. HBO is actually looking to produce this series within the next year to 2 years. It's going to be a limited edition series, a six-part set of episodes talking about the less famous exorcisms across the United States of America and how they apply, as well as the mysticism and the medical facts behind the truth of it in the last three episodes. Make sure that you keep an eye out for your listings. That is due to come out in 2019, providing everything works. And you are going to see, yes, that's right, myself in the bylines. You're not going to see me in the show. But you are going to see special thanks to Christopher Houston, because I'm going to provide some of the information, and I helped him get in contact with several people. So by all means, keep an eye out on that and keep an eye out on everything that goes on. We have several books about to come out, to my understanding, and several appearances throughout the state of Ohio and surrounding areas, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and so forth. Local celebrity, though I haven't listened to him here in a little while, that works in the paranormal, Brian Brian J. Cano, of course he doesn't live here in Ohio, will actually be running around at several of these conventions, so keep an eye on him. Brian Parsons, here a local resident of Ohio, is actually due to several conventions to speak this year throughout Pennsylvania and the state of Ohio. If you get a chance to go to those paranormal conventions, I do encourage you to listen to him. Brian's a very fascinating man. He's been working with the paranormal for, gosh, almost 15 years, so he's got a lot of information. He has a show on WCJV. If you ever want to listen to him, feel free to tune in there. I do believe that is every Monday, but don't hold me to that. Excuse me. This voice is just terrible. I have a few questions here, and I have a story to actually share for you before we do this. Samantha Jones sent me a story from right outside of Louisville, Kentucky, called My Personal Ghost Story. So I'm just going to start with this real quickly. Samantha says, at an early age, my mother and father and I moved in to remodel a church just north of Louisville, Kentucky. As we moved into the church and things got finished, the upper area was turned into a bedroom for me. During the early 1900s, this church's upper area was actually used for storage, but more importantly, it was used to store those who may have been on the run from the law when it was deemed unnecessary during the South. She said it was a good possibility that some of this could have very well been a part of the slave trade and several other things with the Underground Railroad, but she could never confirm this as it wasn't listed as a part of the railroad throughout history. The first week that she came in, she said she heard the laughter of a little black girl. The little black girl often ran around in her bedroom, but never really was seen outside except for a swing that would move back and forth just after midnight. Eventually, she said, as she was sleeping, her sheets would come off of her bed, and she would tell her mother this, and her mother would just laugh and say, well, you know, honey, don't worry about it. Her family came from a very religious area, so they tended to avoid all of this and say, God's will, honey, says that you can't be disturbed by these things, so don't let them bother you. He will take care of you. But she kept noticing this over and over and over again. Now, though this wasn't a scary experience, she did finally go outside to the swing and sit out there at 12 o'clock at night, as she ventured at being 16 years old, and said she saw this little girl smile at her and walk out into the weeds. She said there was a little woods right beside the house. She went into the woods and followed about a quarter of a mile, and then the little girl disappeared right by an old abandoned outhouse or small shack. As she opened the door, she found a little rag doll that looked like it had been at least 75, if not 100 years old. She was surprised that it was even together. It was stained, in terrible shape. Most of the fragments had fell off, and she brought it back with her. She placed the little rag doll in a rocking chair in the back of her room. She noticed that no longer the swing around 12 o'clock would start swinging or so, but her rocking chair would start going back and forth. Shortly after that, the doll would move around the room, but not in an aggressive way. About 14 to 15 nights out, she decided she was going to put crayons out on a piece of paper. In the morning, she woke up and saw the words, "Thank you." Now, though this startled her, she started to realize that this ghost was not aggressive. So she decided to do some research when she turned 18, and she went to the local town hall. She found, in fact, that there was a little black girl that stayed at the church for undeemed reasons for about 4 years before dying of, believe it or not, a flu bug, because they couldn't afford the treatment early on in the 1900s. As she went back there with the paper, she noticed that an image of a paper. She took a copy of an old paper off of the library, copied it off, brought it back, and she noticed that it looked a little bit like the little girl, tried to explain it to her family, and her mom stopped shocked and said, "I saw that little girl walk in my garden every day and just thought it was a neighbor." In the end of the show tonight, I want you to think about that a little bit, because many, many times people talk about how ghost experiences can be bad, how all ghosts are evil, and how they can be terrible things. I've heard over and over and over again that ghosts are the devil's work. But was that little girl really the devil's work? Or was she just someone that didn't understand she was dead? Those are the things you should ponder when you're looking into the paranormal. I hear over and over and over again people talk about demons, but the reality is the demonic is less than 1% of the world. And less than one half of a percent when you're talking about the past 50 years in real occurrences. But you will find hundreds of stories similar to that. When you're talking about PK activity, most people assume it's an angry ghost, but they don't think to take a step back and realize perhaps maybe it's not the ghost, but the fact that we should show more compassion to people. And that activity could be there because somebody needs your help. These are the things you should take a look at. In the next 2 or 3 weeks, I want you to visit Paranormal Truth and Reality, www.paranormaltruthandreality. We're doing a retool right now. All of the past shows that I have had from my experience on other radio stations before I came to BBS will be on the recordings there. We will have copies of the shows here on BBS Radio under Paranormal Truth and Reality that you can play from the time I started with BBS on a regular basis. I want you to do that as well. And I will also have copies on Paranormal Truth and Reality. We're going to be working with Donald on syndication so that we can have them available on iTunes and several other areas here within the next several months. So make sure that you keep that in mind as well. In addition, you have been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality here on BBS Radio. My name is Christopher Houston. Please give special thanks to, we will pre-record next week, Carl Bland, so that we can get him on the air. I have another guest that we'll discuss later on this week before we get Carl Bland on. He had some Skype issues, so please wish him well over the internet and tell him you're looking forward to talking to him. Carl is a wonderful researcher. He's been doing this for 23 years, has some personal paranormal experiences from the UK that he wants to share with us. I'm very excited about it. He doesn't talk very often to the paranormal community because, obviously, as you know, we all get self-judged at one point or another. And in closing here, I know that we're in our last 3 to 4 minutes. I will just simply leave it with the fact that, remember, just like the discussion tonight and the paranormal truth, can always be the reality. I'm going to leave it off to Donald to cut the show, and enjoy your day. We'll see you next week.